Ah, it's quite the bumper video. I've been loving it every week we've had it. I just want to express my appreciation to all of you for your support and kind words. Even this morning walking in, I've had all kinds of people encouraging me in my preaching this morning. Thank you. I want to say thank you to my beautiful wife, Carol, who's also done the same throughout the week as I've been preparing, telling me that I've got it, I can do it. I've had so much fun actually preparing for this. Every now and then, you know, a scripture verse just sort of like takes over your mind. And this one about the yeast has just done that for me this when did you invite me? A month ago. For a month. He invited me a long time ago. And so the verse is just like, in my mind. But let's just grab the big idea right off the bat. The big idea is the kingdom. The kingdom of God might initially appear to be something small, but it will inevitably grow and achieve results out of proportion from the beginning. And you're going to get to see that visually this morning. Oh, another word of thanks I forgot to say is Josh and Jeremy actually put hours of work into this message already. So it's a real team effort, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Couldn't have done it without their counsel and help. So the kingdom of God is like a must. And I've been studying my own personal devotions. I've all been in Luke for the last month. So I got invited to speak about Matthew, but I took the Luke option on the same exact passage, because it's where I've been at in my own Bible. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and when it grew, it became a tree, and birds could perch in its branches. Seeds, says Dallas Willard, writing about the seed parables, contain in them the power to shape and control the world around them. Now, you're going to see the same principle in the yeast parable as well, but let me just explain it with seeds. If you plant a walnut seed in the ground, eventually a walnut tree will grow. And that walnut tree will have a profound effect on its natural environment. The tannins in the leaves of the walnut tree and in the walnuts that fall to the ground actually begin to change the acidity of the soil. And if anybody here has ever tried to garden beside a walnut tree, it doesn't work. I see some people agreeing with me. Yeah. That tree actually changed the physical environment around it based on what was inside that original seed that was planted. Or, more positive note, if you plant an alfalfa seed, in a number of years you'll have a plant that has the ability to fix nitrogen and put nitrogen into the soil and make it more fertile. Or, if you plant an oak tree, eventually, if you plant an acorn, sorry, you get an oak tree, which eventually provides food for deer and squirrels. All right, that's seeds. That's all I'm going to say about seeds today. The rest is going to be about the second half, the yeast. And the two are the same thing, just told two different ways. Oh, I got one more thing to say about seeds. All by itself, the Bible says, the seed sprouts and grows, even if the farmer doesn't know how. And there's something really mysterious and unobservable about the growth of the kingdom of God. Jesus' parable helps us to understand this. The seed and the yeast grow because they've got life inside of them. They have a creative and dynamic power within themselves to change their environment. And of course, it's God who made the world that way and put that into the yeast or into the seed. The farmer doesn't make the seed grow, and the baker doesn't make the yeast come to life. The seed and the yeast grow very well on their own when the conditions are right. So the scripture we're looking at now, I'm going to read, and then I'm going to sit down and watch a video. The kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough.
going to put 70 billion yeast cells in this. You can't see even one of them. They're only under a microscope have you ever seen them. I'm going to give them some sugar. So I'm going to give them honey. The wonderful thing about yeast is that it's, for all intents and purposes, dead. Nothing happening until you give it some water and food. And then it comes to life. A half a cup of sugar, a teaspoon of salt, and you need lard. 3 cups of warm water. Here we have 5 cups of flour. The message today is about the kingdom of God. And I want you to just join me in imagining that somehow even the very activities I'm doing here are illustrating the principles that Jesus wanted us to learn. Our text is from Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 20, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man planted in his garden. And even though it's the smallest of all seeds, it grows into a tree that even birds can perch in." And then Jesus said again, "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour. And she kneaded it until it worked all through the dough." I better keep track of how many cups of flour I put in because I'm talking. And we're getting some real action on the yeast. Look at that. Let me tell you a little bit about yeast. All sorts of amazing things. So yeast is a one-celled microorganism. It is, you know, really, really small. And it can lay lifeless and dormant for long periods of time. And then as soon as you add water and some food, like some kind of sugar, it starts to grow. And the actual process that it does is that yeast breaks down sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide forms little bubbles in the bread dough, and that's what makes the bread rise. And the beautiful smell that I'm smelling right now is actually the alcohol coming off the dough. It wasn't until the late 1860s actually confirmed that yeast was a living organism. The other thing that I loved was that, and this is the one of the really surprising things, there's yeast everywhere. There's yeast floating in the air in your bedroom. There's yeast floating in our congregation, in our auditorium this morning. And in fact, if you just take some flour and water and stir it up, and set it on the countertop for a few days, enough yeast that's floating in the air will fall in there, and it'll begin to bubble. And you know this as sourdough. So sourdough starts by somebody just setting out some flour and water and letting the yeast floating around in the world fall into it. Get my hands in here. One of the things I love about all Jesus' parables is that they're very earthy, natural. Mm-hmm. And when that seed, say a walnut seed or a pine cone seed, we plant it in the soil and it begins to grow. Especially a walnut one. If you plant a walnut
tree, repeat myself here.
After that tree develops and grows, it's going to start shaping the reality around itself, such that those walnuts that fall on the ground begin to change the pH of the soil, and you can't even grow a garden inside a walnut tree. You have to grow other things. So the same is true with this yeast. It has in it the capacity to begin to shape the world around it. There's something so powerful contained in that one cell organism that it is going to completely transform this flour into what it, something that we want, yeast, bread. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like yeast. You know, I misread the verse several times. At first I thought he was saying the kingdom of God is like a woman mixing yeast into the flour. That's not what it says. It says it's the kingdom of God is like the yeast that a woman mixes into the flour.
Well, it's okay if you hear things twice. It's really, repetition is a good part of teaching. That's my first chance to watch the edited version. It's really good. Thank you, guys. Let's not be confused by anything, though. The kingdom of God is not the yeast. The yeast is just a principle that Jesus is using to teach us. It's something Jesus is using to teach us a principle that small things grow large and begin to shape everything around them. And I had something that just shocked me as I was preparing for this. The sudden realization that almost all the biblical references about yeast are negative, not positive. And we should fear and tremble when we read this passage about small things becoming large. The whole point of the fact that in the feasts from after Exodus all the way up till the time of Jesus, there was something called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, right? And then the Passover bread had no yeast in it. That's all about reminding people that you need to take the sin out of your life. Sin also grows rapidly. And a small little sin can take over your life and destroy every part of your life. So the question that comes up, you heard me in there talking about the conditions to make bread. You know, you need flour and sugar and lard, and you have to warm the water before you put the yeast in. And if you make the right conditions, you're going to get something that eventually is going to give you a loaf of bread. And I began pondering this about my own life and sin. You know, it says in Leviticus something God expects us to be holy, even as He is holy. And Jesus warned the people He was preaching to. He said, "Beware the yeast of the scribes and the Pharisees." So here the yeast is the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees, their hyper-focus on religious law that led them and those who followed them into self-righteousness and pride, that was keeping them out of the kingdom, that was preventing them from hearing the message of Jesus because they were caught up in their own self-righteous pride. Sin, when given the right conditions, grows rapidly and begins to take over your life. This morning, I just want to plead with you. Rightly judge your own life. Where is sin growing in your own life? Are there conditions? Have you created conditions in your life that allow sin to grow? Are you aware of the fact that it's growing in you? What is the soil of your life like? I'm reflecting us back to what? 2 weeks ago, we heard the parable of the sower. And Pastor Joel told us what? The difference is in the dirt. So there's a connection here. You can create good soil. You can create bad soil. You can create good conditions to make yeast grow, to make your bread. You heat it just right. But boy, don't make it too hot or you'll kill the yeast. My mom always had me hold my finger in the cup of water and said, now, do you feel any pain? If you feel any pain, then it's too hot and the yeast will die. You need to make sure it's just a nice warm water. So the conditions really matter. So sin grows in conditions like selfishness and pride, in being caught up in the worries of this life, consumerism. In the parable of the sower, talks about the worries of the life and the deception of wealth. I think those two go together. And also then that same parable talks about the good soil that produced a real crop. I want to say this one more time. If you give sin the right conditions, you open yourself to the work of the devil and sin will take over your life. What's the answer? Repent. Metanoia. Change your mind. Turn away from sin. Or in other language, plow up the fallow ground. Do whatever you need to do to create the right conditions for the kingdom of God to grow in your life so that you might become receptive to the Holy Spirit. Really, I'm saying, you need to turn your life over to Jesus. Turn your life over to Jesus. It's the only answer if you're caught up in sin. So I said earlier, if you give sin the right conditions, it'll grow rapidly and take over your life. Well, also, the kingdom of God, when given the right conditions, grows rapidly and begins to take over your life as well. You can choose which of the two kingdoms you want to take over your life. I can choose a sinful, selfish life and the kingdom of Satan takes over my life. I can accept the free gift of love and salvation that's only offered by Jesus and the kingdom of God begins to take over my life and transform me. The first and most important factor in getting the soil of your life right is to turn your life over to Jesus. Confess Jesus as Lord. Jesus is the one who saves us from our sins. In fact, only Jesus can save us from our sins. We need saving, and really anything else, if you put it first, is just going to be self-improvement. Not salvation. I want to be careful. There's some work for you have to do. You need to create good soil. You need to choose good choices, but it won't do you much good if you don't turn your life over to Jesus and get the action, because Jesus is going to give you a gift. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, and then that Holy Spirit is going to begin to point out things in your life, and you say, oh, I didn't even see that. What's going on? When Jesus becomes Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you. New life begins to grow inside of you and to multiply just like yeast in dough. This is what we want to happen. This is what we long for as a church, isn't it? That Jesus is saving work and his wonderful outpouring, his gift of the Spirit that begins to give us life. You know, what I loved about my hand in that dough with the making of the bread was the feeling that, I was taking the bread and shaping it and manipulating it, and maybe that's like the work of the Holy Spirit of my life. And you know what happened as I worked that bread? It got softer, not harder. The more I kneaded the bread, the softer it got in my hands, because the gluten was getting worked out and the yeast was doubling itself inside the bread and making it grow. When Jesus becomes Lord of your life, he actually makes you softer. And I can tell that from personal experience. I am a hard man. On my own, I'm a very hard person. I'm stiff. I'm tough. I'm right. All those things. And I can, this is a fairly recent experience of my life to recognize this. In 2021, I had the opportunity to go on this walk in Spain called the Camino de Santiago. And that is where it really became clear to me. I felt like the Lord saying, Jonathan, you've forgotten that I gifted you the Holy Spirit to lead you, and you're doing everything on your own strength. You're hard towards other people. And somehow, God used that 2.5 weeks, or how, I don't forget how many weeks, 13 days of walking to really reawaken me and confront me with my hard and sinful heart. And as I said, as I walked, I felt like every step I was saying, I want to take another step closer to you, Jesus. And I walked about, 200 miles. And it became very real to me that I could actually live my life in step with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm talking about is, if you want this yeast, this kingdom of God activity that starts with something really small and grows into something wonderful and big and life-giving, you turn your life over to Jesus. You say yes to Jesus. And you acknowledge your own sinfulness. And you invite Jesus to begin kneading and turning and stirring and pouring his life into you, the life of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus becomes Lord of your life and the Holy Spirit takes residence inside of you, new life begins to grow and multiply inside you, just like yeast in the dough. And the results are going to be really easy to see. What does it produce? I said that yeast produces carbon dioxide and alcohol when it eats sugar. Well, you, as a disciple of Jesus, you produce good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. When that God yeast starts working inside you, this is what you get. And you'll know, and the people around you will know. You can all check with Carol and see if I'm softer now or harder than I used to be. You're welcome to check. I'm still a work in progress. But let's take a look at what happened about an hour after we made this bread. Do you remember how small that, before the dough just sort of was a little small ball in the bottom, and then it got big, and of course, you got to knead it a second time. So maybe that's even, I wasn't even thinking about this when I'm telling you my story. Get kneaded a second time. You know, I actually didn't start following Jesus in 2021, by the way. I started way back when I was 12, and I had an experience of renewal when I was 19. And in 2021 is just another time when I guess that I got dumped out on the table and kneaded again. And we shouldn't forget that when Jesus was preaching, most of his audience would have called themselves people following God's ways. They were Jewish believers who believed in God. They wanted to be pleasing to God. And yet Jesus told them, Jesus' very first message to them was, repent, because the kingdom of God has come near. That's Matthew, what, 4, somewhere around there. So the coming kingdom of God, Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, the coming kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. So you look at the yeast that I was pouring into the bread. You couldn't see. You saw the stabilizing powder that holds the yeast. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking at yeast when you open a package. That's just some kind of a stabilizer powder that holds the yeast when they manufacture it in large quantities. You can't see it. You can't say, oh, there's the yeast. I see it doing its work. No. And as much as preachers want to stand here like we've been all doing, tell you what the kingdom of God is, and what it's like, all we can ever say is it's sort of like this. There's a mystery, there's a mysterious element that is going to work in your life and in our congregation in a way that is unique to us, unique to you. The God of the universe knows your DNA code. He loves you. He's looking straight into your heart this morning. He knows everything good or bad. There's no secret with him, and he loves so much. He's so gentle. My mom always told me you can't beat up the bread. You have to handle the dough properly. You don't just slam it on the table. You pick it up and you. Well, that's the way God works in our lives. I have a quote here from a Mennonite author, theologian, from a commentary of the book of Matthew. Myron Augsburger wrote this about the meaning of the yeast parable. This parable emphasizes the transforming power of the gospel of the kingdom. It changes persons, social orders, economic relations, and primary loyalties. You know, when I started preparing this message, I thought I was going to talk to you mostly about your role in the social order. That you, and this is true, you as a disciple of Jesus are a member of the kingdom, so you are meant to be like yeast in your workplace. You're meant to be something that leavens the bread. You're meant to bring a breath of fresh air at your job or your home or your workplace. But it turns out the message that actually the Lord gave me for this morning was this one. The transforming power of the gospel of the kingdom that changes persons and their primary loyalties. Do you understand me? What is your primary loyalty? I mean, if you're talking football, you heard it last Sunday up here, right? We know the primary football loyalty of Tim Bench. If you're talking And you could all go around and tell me what your sports team is. But that's not the real question, is it? The real question is your primary loyalty to Jesus? Because the kingdom of God has a king. The kingdom of God has a king, and his name is Jesus. The kingdom of God contains life within itself, just like the seed, just like the yeast. And it's going to grow, okay? The kingdom of God is going to actually go forward even if all of you and me opt out. It doesn't actually depend on us. It depends on Jesus, the king. And Jesus says his kingdom is going forward and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. So we must really make sure that when we're approaching the kingdom of God, we're addressing the question of loyalty. Is my loyalty to my king, to my Jesus, my King Jesus? Because the kingdom of God has a king. His name is Jesus. And you can choose to participate in that kingdom, or you can choose to work against it to your own detriment, to your own harm. But you can. God lets you. I wish he didn't, actually. But God lets you choose whether you're going to participate or not. The kingdom of God is going to grow. Will you? I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. Plow up the fallow ground. Do whatever you need to do to create the right conditions for the kingdom of God growth in your life. Repent. Metanoia, which means change your mind and turn away. Turn your life over to Jesus, and you will become receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit and start bearing fruit. And you'll begin to have a kingdom impact in the world around you. So, to wrap things up, the seed is something that's in the soil. The yeast is in the dough. The kingdom of God is in the world. And we participate in Jesus' kingdom as we engage the world as his ambassadors. I just want to, I really wanted to take this message a different direction earlier, like I said, but this idea that we've got to get ourselves lined up with Jesus just took over my mind as I prepared today. I want to have this kind of soil in my life that would receive Jesus. I need his help. I can't be transformed without him. When we are transformed, he does send us out into the world as change agents and ambassadors. The kingdom of God is actively at work in the world, in our community, in the workplace, among the nations, in governments. But somehow, the invitation to allow the yeast of the kingdom to work in my own heart, my plea to you to allow the yeast of the kingdom to begin to work in your heart, redirected me this morning. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. The kingdom of God really does have a king. His name is Jesus. He wants to save you from your sins and fill you with his spirit. He wants to surround you with a community of people who love one another deeply. He doesn't want anyone to be alone. And when he does, when you do submit your life to Jesus, he will commission you to go into the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And respond to the first sermon of Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near.
seeds of the kingdom are out there, and God's working out there. Am I cooperating with